Please take your Bibles and open them to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3, we continue our study of the life of Moses. And this morning we consider Moses and the God who sends. Exodus chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. Would you please stand for the reading of our sermon text today? Hear the word of the Lord. Exodus 3, beginning in verse 7. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a land... Let me start over, please. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Lord, we ask that you would bless your word in our hearing this morning. I pray that in these few minutes you would help us to hear what we need to hear, to believe what you say, that your word would take root in our lives and it might transform us for your glory, for the sake of your kingdom. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. God cares about the distress of His people. We see this in verse 7. The Lord sees the misery of His people in Egypt. He sees and He's concerned. He cares. The Israelites were in bondage. They were oppressed. They were being murdered. They were suffering. And God cared about them. And this morning, I want you to understand, God cares about people today as well. God cares about the people all around us who are in distress, all those who are suffering from evil, all those who are oppressed by Satan, all of those who have been enslaved and ensnared to sin. God cares. This morning, if you are wounded, if you are hurting, I want you to hear and know God cares about you. God cares about your pain. God cares about your suffering because God loves you. He sees your sorrow and He cares. So this morning, as I say that God sees and cares about your distress, your sorrow, your suffering, as He cares about the people all around the world today who are ensnared and enslaved to Satan and sin, we might ask the question, well, why doesn't God do something? Why hasn't God fixed it? And this morning, I want to say God has done something. God has acted. I want you to see, secondly, in verse 8, that God comes to deliver His people from their distress. Verse 8, the Lord says, I have come down to rescue them. God is not uncaring. God is not unconcerned. God is not like we are at times when we might see somebody in distress and think, oh, what can I do about it, and move on. God has come. He has broken into this world. He has acted to deliver His people. God goes to Egypt. He declared war on the powers of darkness in that terrible land. And God has come into our world. He's come into our world to deliver us and all of those around us. Jesus came, God in the flesh, to be our deliverer, to be our Savior, our rescuer. He came to seek and to save the lost. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. God acts. God comes into the world because He cares. But God does this in a particular way. Verses 9 and 10, we see that God commissions His servants to be His agents of deliverance. Now, God could act all on His own independently and separately from anyone and anything else. But God chooses to use people to bring deliverance. In the most perfect, ultimate sense, God came through the God-man Jesus Christ, who came into the world and died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead. God commissioned and called Moses to go to Pharaoh and demand, "Let my people go," to lead them out of slavery to the promised land. God commissions His servants to be the agents of His deliverance, to be the ministers of His mercy. God has called the church to go and preach the gospel of peace and hope throughout the world. God has called and commissioned you and me to be His representative. And this morning, I want us to understand that God delivers people from their greatest distress through the gospel. The greatest need in the world today is not shoes, as important as that is. It's not dental care. It's not health care. It's not clothing. All of those are urgently needed. But what is needed more than that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that. We need to know this. Talking to Carol. Where did Carol go? Carol back there. She's been having back problems. I didn't ask if I could tell this, but now you feel like my children do. I tell stories about them all the time. They're like, "Don't say that, Dad." Talking to Carol. She's been having some back problems. I said, "Hey, how's your back doing?" She said, "Oh, I found somebody who can help me, and it's so much better." You know, friends, what the world needs is not just the treatment of symptoms. What the world needs is not just the alleviation of some pain for a little bit. What the world needs is complete healing, and that comes only through Jesus Christ and the gospel. And God has sent us here to deliver that. This morning we need to be clear on what the gospel is. The gospel is found in 1 Corinthians 15. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. We need to be clear that the gospel is Christ dying for us and rising from the dead so that we might have life. We need to be clear on the gospel response, how people are saved and delivered. Romans 10:9, we read it earlier. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. This includes repentance and faith. Repentance is turning away from sin, turning away from self. It's turning to Christ in submission and surrender. Faith is believing the truth about Christ, that He's the eternal Son of God who lived a sinless life and died a sinner's death, that He was raised on the third day, and that one day He is returning for us and that we are His. We need to be clear on the response that needs to be made. And we have to be clear on our duty to be witnesses and evangelists. Every single one of us. Acts 1:8, Jesus says, "Be my witnesses." Witnessing involves making what is invisible visible to others. Being a witness of Christ means that we make what is unseen visible to those around us. The reality to which we bear witness is the invisible kingdom of God. And in witnessing, we are striving to make God's reign visibly manifest. There are lots of ways that we bear witness to Christ and His kingdom. We do it, first of all, by loving other Christians. Jesus says in John 13, "The world will know you're my disciples if you love one another." You are a witness for Christ and His kingdom when you love each other and you love others. When you love your neighbors as yourself, you are making visible the kingdom of Christ. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are proclaiming Christ's kingdom until He comes. That's a way of being a witness. When you live a righteous life through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are being a witness of the kingdom of God in your life. When you give your testimony of God's love and faithfulness toward you, you're being a witness. There's one more step we must take. We not only need to show it through our lives, but we need to say it with our mouths. We must evangelize others. Giving one's testimony is a good thing, but it's not evangelism. Testifying to the work of God in our lives bear witness to what Christ has done for us, but it does not by itself give the content of the gospel. Living a righteous life manifests the work of the Holy Spirit, but we've not yet evangelized our neighbor if we've never shared the gospel with her. No one is converted by our kindness and honesty. They are brought into the kingdom of heaven only through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and they must hear the message. You and I are commissioned by the Lord to evangelize others, to explain to them the gospel and how they can be saved. Romans 10 goes on to say that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a great promise! That everyone, no matter where they are in the world, no matter what they've done, no matter the condition they find themselves in, if they cry out to the Lord, if they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Praise God. But Romans 10:14 asks, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Evangelism takes place only when we share the message of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and call people to trust in Him alone. Maybe you've heard the saying before, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Have you heard that? It's well-intended, but it's so misleading. We have not preached the gospel if all we have done has been kind to others. Acts of kindness adorn the gospel. They show the one whom we serve is conforming us to His image. But evangelism happens only when we proclaim the message of Jesus and call people to put their faith in Him. That's what I like about camp. Witnessing and evangelizing together. Showing and sharing the love of Christ. And then telling people how they can become Christians and have their greatest distress resolved. By all means, let us live good lives. Let us do good deeds. Let us make visible the kingdom of God with our lives and our loves. But don't stop there. Open your mouth and tell people the good news. Some of you went through our Three Circles training earlier this year. Use the app. Out here, as you turn the corner and you get ready to head down the stairs, up on the wall there is a rack with gospel booklets and tracts. Grab those. Share those with people. Read them with people. Jot down the Romans Road. Read those verses and share them with others. Just open your mouth. Tell people about Christ and how they can be saved. Who do you know this week who needs to hear the gospel? Friend, you have been commissioned by God to be His agent of deliverance in the lives of the people around you. You're not the deliverer. Only Jesus is. You and I can't save anybody, but we can introduce them to the one who can change their lives and give them eternal life. So go tell them the good news of Christ. God sent Moses. God is sending you. Will you go? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to do what we've been called to do. To be witnesses of Your kingdom through our lives. And to evangelize the world through our words. Father, help us to reach people, to care about their distress, and to move out of our comfort zones, to tell them the most important news that they will ever hear, to introduce them to the greatest person they will ever know, to receive the greatest, most wonderful gift that could ever be given. Father, help us to go as You've sent us. In Jesus' name, amen.